This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This is a show. Advice of a stone. Should I let low? Should I let go? Should I go slow? Cause I gotta know now. It's just a tip. I got you, don't trip. Perspective I flip. Tea don't sip. I'm making platoon. It's just a tip. We're not legit. I gotta admit. Ballin' we spit. Cause it's just a tip now.
Tip. Yeah.
It's like I that theme song intro like is so not on the vibe of what the podcast is anymore.
It's actually pretty crazy because when I listen back to it, I'm like, this is so cute, but this doesn't even remind me of you.
No.
Like when I listen to it, I'm not like, this is Megan Batoon.
You know, it's crazy because that was when it was like a comedy podcast.
Yes.
Like I started this podcast as a comedy advice podcast.
Yes.
And then it like transformed into what it became through like my involvement.
Yes.
And I just never changed the theme song. So it's just like incongruent.
I feel like you went from, this is not meant to be an insult, but I feel like you went from yellow to beige.
Ooh, how is that an insult? Beige is my favorite color. I am the sand.
No, you are beige, but it sounds like rude.
Drabby.
Yes, but that's not what I mean.
No.
I definitely mean like you added some creme.
Yes,
to your palette,
a little creme caramel.
Yes.
Yeah, it feels like it's just like honed in a little bit.
Yeah,
honed in and like tuned down.
Yeah.
Well, because that's the other thing of like being on the internet for so long and starting when I was like 21, maybe.
Wow.
Literally grew up.
Wow.
In videos. But at that time, it was like you were expected to be really like out there and crazy and getting views because you were doing something like pranks were huge then.
Oh my God.
And challenge videos. And it was just like.
Do you remember where we met?
Do we meet in a dance studio?
No.
On a video shoot?
Yes.
For Dominic?
Yes.
Which one?
Now at a Dancer.
Now at a Dancer. Yes. Oh my God.
And you had really good FaceTime in that one.
FaceTime?
Specifically. Yes, I had bangs. But that was definitely the style. Like it was all about like how obnoxious and weird and funny and out there can I be because
yeah.
I'm so cool.
But that's when you look at like YouTube thumbnails, everyone's
yes.
like, like making a crazy face because
yes.
like that's clickable. It was just like, I didn't enjoy that like time of media, but like that's when I started. And so it was always about being like loud and obnoxious.
Yes.
And then the more I found myself and also like understood what people listening
yeah.
wanted to hear, then I was like, oh, I understand. I understand this direction. And before it was like, I don't know, you're trying to make something that you think people want versus listening to what people actually want.
Which is crazy because it's just you.
Yep.
Like, can you just be yourself? Maybe.
When I realized that being yourself was the key to everything, that shit rocked my world.
Yes.
Because before, I was trying so hard.
Yes.
I was trying so hard to be smart and funny and inspiring and non-offensive. And it
yeah.
was all these things. And like putting all those things on me was basically putting like track, what are those things called? And when you're running track, you jump over them.
Oh,
hurdles.
Like the hurdles, yeah.
I was like putting hurdles in front of myself so I couldn't run straight because
yeah.
I was putting those there. If I didn't put those and I just ran straight on the fucking track, things would have been really smooth.
I just have this visual of like you running down a track field and then like another you like coming out and just literally placing the
yeah.
hurdle. And you're like, what?
You're like, what? You were supposed to be on the same team.
Just you're like, okay, like jump over the hurdle, keep running. Another one runs out and you're like, okay.
I guess.
By the end, you're just tripping over the hurdles because you're like, I'm tired of jumping over these.
I'm tired. Yeah, I'm working against myself. I was in my own way.
Yes.
Ugh, annoying. Anyway.
Well, welcome here to Beige.
Welcome here. Welcome to Beige. What a beautiful pre-tangent. This is the last episode of Just a Tip podcast. I am your ex-host, Megan Patoon. Not ex. I'm here with my beautiful friend Taylor. I really wanted her to host this episode because I feel so connected to you and our journey and our path. And every time that I would be very authentic on this podcast, you would reach out and we would have, you know, a little banter, a little conversation. And it was always like, you're going through what I'm going through. Yes. It was almost like kismet in a way. And you're so attentive and so intelligent and in tune with your emotions that it didn't feel right to ask anybody else.
That's so sweet. And for everybody listening, I'm an avid Megan Patoon fan, big stan over here. Listen big to stan. Every episode. I was trying to go back and like, you know, I was coming up with questions to ask and I was like, okay, let me go find a podcast maybe I haven't listened to yet before. All played.
Oh, literally, my God.
All played. I actually blew myself away seeing that I had listened to every single one. I was like, no, really, I am actually a fan.
That's amazing.
Yes. And I'm a fan because it keeps getting better. Like, I feel like I was in a similar boat as you when I first went on to the podcast. I was such a different person.
Yeah.
Thank God we're both who we are now. But yeah, you've just grown so much over the years and it really has turned from a fun, easygoing podcast to like, I'm going to relate to something and be able to take something away and feel affirmed and walk away with this feeling good rather than, oh, that was cute.
That's a thing. In the beginning, I mean, when I started the podcast, I didn't really have an idea what I was doing, right? Like I had just been on a podcast at HeadGum. One of
this is a HeadGum podcast.
Yeah. My two like comedy idols, like it went so well. It was so fun. I'd never done a podcast before. And they were like, you should do your own. And I was like, yeah, cool. Like, what's it about? You know, like, and I feel like when I'm starting a creative endeavor from like, oh, I want to do this thing. What is it about? Mm-hmm. That never works out really for me until it finds its own footing.
Yeah.
Like even with a Netflix show, it was the first season. No one knew what was happening. And our EP, our executive producer, always said, like, the show finds itself.
Yeah.
Season one shows always will become what they become naturally. Right. And that's kind of what happened with the podcast and also like the YouTube channel. If you allow yourself to just actually go with what's happening and put that out, then I think like real change and real things could be made. In the beginning, I was doing advice. So we were helping as much as we could because we weren't experts and we were just telling stories and, you know, telling jokes here and there until it was like, when I started thinking about like how long media is going to last, that why not make something that actually should last.
Yes.
And has evergreen quality to help people years down the road.
Right.
That's why I like Sex and the City, to be honest, because like,
yes,
these people, like I watched it when I was 25, I watched it when I was 30. Like you can still learn so much because they're dealing with problems that are ubiquitous regardless of what age you are. Yeah.
Wow. That's beautiful. Well, on that note, I have some questions for you.
Oh my God. Okay. Let's go.
These were not Instagram asked questions. These were thought out at, when I was in my Pitta dosha state.
Okay. So when you're in Pitta, that is fire. So this was around 10 to 2 PM.
It sure was. Okay. You know, my favorite Pitta stage is when I should be sleeping and dreaming. Uh-huh. But instead, I...
Night owl stage, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, my first question is pretty simple, which is just, what have you learned most from hosting this podcast?
Oh, my gosh. You know what? Two things come to mind. I remember my friend John, who's a stand-up, talked to me one time and said that, like, he complimented me on when I wasn't trying. And it was like an offhanded comment of like, you're the best when you don't plan, like, what you're going to say, which is crazy because when I grew up, I was always planning something. That was the way that I could, like, have control. Like, again, I'm Pitta. Like, I need everything to be color coded and in its place. And so when he said that, I was like, huh, that's interesting. Cause he's so good at, like, off the cuff, you know, all stand-ups kind of have to have this, like, banter on stage. And when he said that, like, I am good when I am not trying and I'm just going with the flow, that was interesting to me. And then when I hosted a live show in Chicago, oh my God, I had, like, the craziest panic attack backstage because I was so nervous that it wasn't going to go well. Wow. I had flown out. I mean, I didn't fly out all these people. I flew out one person. But then some of my other friends that I invited came to be on stage, like four of my funniest comedy friends.
Of course.
Because I was like, if I have three comedy friends of mine. If I have three comedians and me on stage, I'm not going to fail because I have these people to fall back on that can host a show in their sleep. And so it was so eye-opening because the day before we were watching other people do a live show and they had, like, such funny questions, but, like, their podcast was comedy. And honestly, like, all of HeadGum's podcasts are comedy.
Right.
And that's where mine started, but that's not where it ended. And I think this was a pivotal moment of, like, learning that it doesn't need to be what everybody else's podcast was because I had pre-written all these funny questions where it's like, hang on, it's a live show. The audience are the listeners. Why am I not asking questions from the audience and doing a live show? Wow. And so we did that. And all the questions that were coming up were, like, really feely, sensitive, like, intelligent, like, human questions.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, I really was gonna steer it in the non-helpful direction. So to answer the question, like, I think I learned what people actually are wanting.
Right.
They don't want, I mean, if they want to laugh, there's a million other podcasts where they can find that. But, like, if you really want to relate to someone and have some sort of connection of, like, what it's like to be painfully human, like, this was the place you went, felt like. Because by the end of it, I was just, like, so transparent. Like, I literally, like, said on one of the podcasts that I had hemorrhoids. And it's like, this is real.
Right.
You know, like, yes. I think I'm so sick of editing myself out to be likable.
Wow.
That I don't care if you like me because this is what's happening and this is who I am.
Yes. It's like that quote, don't try to get everybody to like you because you don't even like everybody.
Yeah. And if you try to get everyone to like you, nobody's going to like you because you're watering some version of yourself down to be palatable for somebody else.
Right.
When it's like, nah, people aren't going to like you.
Right.
And I think, like, for a while that was so hard for me to hear because I wanted to be liked. You know, when you're making videos and you're making a living off of the views you're getting, you want to get more views. Well, I guess you can get, like, hate views and you're still getting paid, but, like, I don't want to get hate views.
Exactly.
I wanted to be loved by whoever I met.
Right.
Whether that's people on the internet or in real life. And so that was, like, really, that was really hard. I would, like, craft text messages in my notes app before I sent them.
Feel that. Might still do that. I'm not 30 yet. I'm not there.
But yeah, I mean, especially to crushes. It was always to crushes where I was like, gotta make sure I'm, like, all the punctuation is right, like, proofreading, redrafting. Like, I'm just too tired now.
Oh my gosh. Good for you. We need a break and a nap. Okay. My next question kind of answered itself, which was, in what ways are you different now? Which there's, I feel like, a multitude of ways. Yeah. But I feel like you love yourself more now than I've ever seen you love yourself.
Uh-huh.
Do you feel like that's correct?
Yeah, I think the first step to loving myself was, like, being comfortable in the parts of me that I like.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, it was like, I don't like this about me. I'm going to cut this out because that's annoying. And I'll still cut things out when I say, like, or too much. And it's like, okay, no one's listening.
Yeah.
But I'm not editing out like my feelings or my thoughts anymore if I think that someone's not going to resonate with it. You know what? I posted a video the other day and I was like a little upset because I was talking about, you know, my journey, my like learning who I am journey and all the resources that got me there. And I know that some people are not going to resonate with that. However, the video is not for those people. Right. And I think I've been really grappling with that of, especially being online, like I'll put what I want to put out because it's helpful to me, mm-hmm. which means it's probably helpful to somebody else.
Yes.
And so if it's not helpful for you, keep it moving and find someone that is helpful for you.
Right.
Instead of me trying to satiate everyone's need.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm a person.
Yes.
I don't think people remember that.
Yes.
That like social media people are people.
Yeah.
Just take the social media out. They're still people.
Yes.
And I don't know, I think when I started to get more comfortable in who I was through all that self-development work and really just trusting myself, that was a huge thing. Going back to when my friend John was like, when you just talk, you're better. Like he didn't say right. it like that, but when I'm not trying to plan everything like that
muscle
I'm saying.
Memory. Trust yeah. that you got it already.
Yes.
In your bones.
Yes. Oh my God. I went to a doctor the other day. And she had said something to me. She gave me this quote, actually, and I forget exactly the exact words, but the sense of it was a bird can like be on a branch and not be freaking out that it's obviously it's not the right words because I'm saying it like this. It's like this old adage. So a bird can rest on a branch, not trusting that the branch isn't going to fall, but trusting itself to be able to fly when the branch could fall.
Oh my God.
And I was like, yeah.
That's a beautiful quote.
Yeah. If I had, you know, remembered it right, it would have been more beautiful.
Honestly, it still hit.
Yeah, it still hit. But it's true. Like once I realized that I could trust myself to be authentically me, then things got easier. It was that same like track running metaphor of just like, just get out of your own way and run. Right.
So that is a good question, I guess, is how do you get out of your own way when you're feeling like you think you're doing your best?
Mm-hmm, you always
and
do.
Then you realize once you take a step back, like, oh, I'm actually not doing my best. I'm running 100 miles in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. How do you, what is that point that's like, damn, I got to take a step back and actually figure this out for myself and get out of my own way?
I think for me, it was every time I burned out was like,
yep.
It was a memo.
Yes.
Like it was like a violation.
Yes.
It is a violation. Like you're, you're getting like a parking ticket for not stopping.
Wow.
An anti-parking ticket. Yes. Like you need to park. And it feels like, yeah, it feels like every time I got burnt out, I was like being handed literally like an eviction notice of just like, you got to get out of this.
Yes.
Like you're being forced out for a reason. And I just continued to burn out. And I thought that was just normal. Mm-hmm. I thought that was like, I don't know. I mean, like hustle culture, it just feels like that's inevitable.
Yeah.
And so I would burn out and then I would like have a breakdown and kind of get better enough to work hard again to burn out.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, this is like continually happening. Why? And then I think that was the moment where I was like, I've got to take a real step back and take inventory of my life of why I keep burning out. Like, what are these thoughts in my head that make me think I need to work so hard? What is the goal that I'm trying to reach? Why do I need to get there so fast?
Right.
And like when I'm asking myself all these questions and like really just taking stock, I think that's when I realized like, oh, I don't need that. Oh, this is a limiting belief that is not helping me. Oh, this is something. And I like hate to always like bring it back to trauma. But like when you do have trauma and it makes you think a certain way about yourself that helps you get through that.
Yep.
And then years, decades down the line, you're still operating from that same mentality that is definitely not even, it doesn't even make sense anymore.
Right.
But it's so deep seated in you that it's just, you feel like it's part of you, who you are.
Exactly.
Then you're like, that's actually not my voice.
Right.
Why do I need to be working so hard? I don't. That's right. Not my voice. And so from deciding whose voice it was, I was realizing that it wasn't my voice. And so that was like a, once I'm like slashing and dashing all these other people's like beliefs on me, then I could decide like, what do I actually believe and want for myself?
Yep.
And that's what I'm going through now. And it's like such a painful transition, but I'm grateful because there's no way that I could continue to live like that.
Right.
There just isn't.
Isn't it crazy too that the more we burn out, the quicker we burn out the next time?
Yeah.
Because our gut is like, you've been here before. You've been here before.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
To the point where like we were even just talking before this and you're like, yeah, my threshold for, you know, BS is so small now. Mm-hmm. But it is because I feel like we put up with so much for so long, but that by the time you've burnt out enough, you really don't have the patience to even put up with that mm-hmm. anymore. So it's almost even like your spirit telling you, this is not right for me and I'm gonna show it to you. Mm-hmm. Harder and harder every time.
Yep.
Until you listen to me for real.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can't keep doing this anymore.
It's so true. It really is like, I always thought I could like outthink any of my ailments and like I would burn out and I'd be like, oh, I'm so stressed. I'm so overwhelmed. I got to like clear out something in the schedule. And then like I would clear out a little bit and then I would be, you know, flatlining again, but I wouldn't be under, I wouldn't be in the red. And then something would happen and then the burnout would be like, now I have a stomach issue and then I would, you know, get a little bit better and then burn out again. And then I have stress hives, exactly like you're saying, like your body will tell you and then it will yell at you.
Yes.
Until you listen.
Exactly.
Oh my God. If I just listened earlier.
Isn't that crazy? Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, everything was so cliche. You said it right to my face. Like authenticity is key, is such all these cliches that we hear that we're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. And then later down the line, after you've learned the painful lesson, you're like, yeah, that authenticity, it really is key.
And you're like, damn. Sucks because people have been telling us cliches since we were born.
Yes.
And I don't think that we can fully understand them until we've like fully felt them.
Yes.
Which is so unfortunate.
Yes.
Because you know what it is? They're giving us the manual, but we don't know how to read. So we're just like, thank you for these words. Sounds nice.
Wow. We haven't even gotten in the car yet. We have a manual to a car we haven't even gotten in and tested out ourselves.
Yeah. Ooh. We can't go anywhere.
Ooh. Ooh. So on a positive spin to that, I would love to hear what systems have been working for you that pulled you out of those places where you were burnt out, where you were like, oh, I get it now. And this is good. Let me keep moving towards this.
When you say this is good, like thinking that the burnout is good, that it's happening or what?
Thinking that, like, let's say you burned out and you now find this system or a new standard for yourself that you start following and you realize that this is actually the way I need to be moving. Mm. And I wasn't like what you did to be aware of, oh, that was burnout. I can't do that anymore. And now this new thing is working for me. What have you found those things are?
Ooh, like practical takeaways in my experience.
Yes. Whether that be like Ayurveda or, you know, any other things that you are really sticking to right now.
Definitely Ayurveda has really helped in knowing that I don't need to be going so hard all the time.
Right.
And once I learned, like there's a quiz that you can take to know your individual like dosha constitution to know like, oh, I'm generally more pitta, which means I already have fire. I'm already a doer, which means I'm prone to burnout. Like knowing these things helps so that I can counterbalance it.
Right.
So when I know that my pitta is imbalanced, then I just, you know, look at a book or go online and say, like, how do I like balance my pitta? And it's like, okay, you got to chill the fuck out. And it's like, oh, so scientifically, I need to calm down?
Yes.
Got it. So that's helped. Ayurveda for sure. Therapy has really helped me. I mean, I can talk for hours about that. Even just taking an hour for your, even if you like, if therapy is not accessible to you, just taking like literally clocking out of your day and putting an hour on a timer and just being with your feelings and asking yourself how you're feeling. Maybe you can journal or talk to a friend, but like really sit with how you're feeling, feeling it in my body of like, what are the sensations? That's really helped. Breathing takes me out of a burnout situation.
Like breath work exercises.
Yeah. And I'm like not good at that, but I just go on YouTube and find like a guided breath work or even a guided meditation. And it's usually the days that I really don't want to do those that I really need it the most. And then other than that, other things that have helped me in a burnout state, I think the one that I'm learning right now, which is like a super painful but very clear lesson, is that I cannot do myself out of burnout. Like I can't do another thing or clean my entire place. I mean, that actually does help to clean my entire place, but like I can't, you know, knock things off of my to-do list to make myself feel less stressed.
Wow.
Because I look at my to-do list and I go, there's no way I'll be able to get all this done. But maybe if I just do one thing today, and it's like, well, I actually don't need to be doing any of it because I am so low and under-resourced that even doing one thing is going to put me back at burnout.
Right.
Like I have nothing in my cup.
Yes.
So I think just being aware of like the reality and the gravitas of that, I actually don't have anything to give, not even to myself.
Yep.
I have to just like really understand what that means. And like, I guess I don't have the next step to that because I'm in that right now of like the master burnout of all burnouts.
Wow.
Is like happening right now.
That's insane.
I was like writing something, and have you ever played Super Mario Brothers?
Of course. Absolutely.
So, you know, like you defeat all these levels, but then you get to Bowser's castle.
Yes.
And then there's that like little like twirly, like you hit the guy and he becomes like a little twirly turtle shell.
Yes.
And then you got to get the wand.
Yes.
But you got to do it three times.
Yes.
So it's like, I feel like I'm at Bowser's castle burnout right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have to take it super seriously or I'm not going to get the coin ship.
Right.
And wow. So I got to play my cards right. And like, I need to calm down and just be and not do anything.
Yeah.
And that's the hardest thing for me as like a Pitta dosha of like, I'm so used to doing things. I've been doing my things my whole life. Like I've found worth and my like, yeah, my self-worth in some ways of like, I can do more than anyone I know.
Right.
And I was like, that makes me feel good and safe and secure because I'm not drowning. I'm doing it. It's just like, okay, well, this is where it's gotten you.
Wow.
And that's not working anymore.
You really do more than anybody I've ever met.
That's what I keep hearing. And like, that's so crazy to hear like face to face because like people have told me that before. And, you know, when I told, one of the co-founders of HeadGum that I was going to be stopping the podcast, he was saying, you know, it's sad to see you go. You work harder than anyone I know, but it will be nice to see you work at something that really like fills your soul.
Yes.
I'm like, yeah, I really do the most, but what if I did the most in the direction that I want to go the most? That might be fulfilling.
Right. That's crazy and so real. I know I even asked you a month ago when I was here. I was like, because I'm in the opposite state where I'm like, I'm so burnt out that I want to do nothing at all. And I can't even bring myself to do anything. And I was like, Megan, how do you do things every day? So I guess in a way that is healthy, are you able, do you have any advice for people, maybe two ends of the spectrum? One, when you're feeling really inspired and at your top and you're like, let me get things done, what brought you there? And then when you are feeling like, oh my God, I'm doing entirely too much, like what is the immediate thing that you do to cut ties with overworking?
Okay, the first one first, like when I'm super inspired, what has gotten me to the inspired?
Yes.
I mean, I think it all comes down to like, how much do you have on your plate and how much do you have in your cup? Like what's on the table? Like when you really think about like, this is the, let's put all of our cards on the table. How much, and when I talk about like what's in your cup, like how much emotional liquid do you have? Yeah. If you only have like a certain amount, are you giving it to your friends, your partner, your work? I was giving it all to my work. So when I was thinking like, why are my relationships failing? Or why do I feel disconnected from myself or my friends or my partner? It's because I'm giving 98% of all of my liquid into work.
Wow.
Like, that's not the way that I wanted right. to live. And so,
which is filling your plate. You're pouring right. your cup out and
into
it's
my
spilling
plate.
All over your plate.
Right. And like, right. yes, it's spilling because it's yes. a plate. It's not a bowl.
Right.
It's just, oh my God. It was just, I was not aware of the cycle of all of it. But when I have enough to give, it's because I have enough to give.
Like you have things pouring back into you.
Yes. Like when right. I have enough resources of connection with friends or downtime, or like I have enough time to like pet my cat.
Yeah.
Or like feed my cat like good food instead of just like, you know, here's this thing all over the ground. Like
right.
sometimes it doesn't even get in the bowl. Like I'm like, okay.
Wow.
Like it's intense. I'm moving too yes. quickly. Like this is not what humans were, you know, ever supposed to be operating like. Yes. But we've gone so far from what's natural that it's confusing. And now that's the work that I'm doing is like, okay, backtrack. What actually do I want my life to look like?
Yeah.
But to stay on topic and answer your question, when I have enough resources and I feel inspired because I have the mental capacity for it, then I'm able to daydream wow. and think of like exciting things versus kind of right now, to be honest, like I'm in a depleted state where it's like, it's kind of like survival mode.
Yeah.
So in my times where I would be daydreaming, instead of daydreaming ideas or like business plans or what I could do, it's everything that I have to do to survive.
Wow.
It's a lot because like we all
You're replacing daydreams with day worries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Free.
100%.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the same coin, two different sides.
Mm-hmm.
And you can so easily oscillate between both of them if you're not careful.
Exactly.
And I think what I'm learning is, one, my threshold of what I can actually handle and how to balance that.
Wow.
Which has been like the lifelong journey. Like so many of these podcast episodes are about burnout and about work-life balance.
Right.
And I don't think I'm taking it serious until, you know, like my health, physical and mental, is on the line.
Absolutely. So in terms of moving on, because this is the stage I feel like we are in right now, and
yeah.
one with like the two of us both feel this way, but on a worldly level, I think everyone is, you know, the analogy we brought up of like you're in the lobby of the new level, but actually we're still on our way up and the elevator broke and mm-hmm. now we have to take the stairs and the stairs are actually backwards escalators.
Right. Like we know where we want to go. We want to be at the penthouse,
yes.
but we can't get there. There's so many things on the third level. There's like construction on the fourth level. There's vomit in the corner. Like, oh my God, there's all these different obstacles to get yes. to where we want, but like we're still climbing.
Yes. So how do you know when it's time to move on? And that can be mm-hmm. in whatever way you want to take it, whether it's from a person, from a job, from a lifestyle. I know burnout obviously is like probably something that we're going to keep coming back to. Like that is the word. But what do you have any other signs of just time to move on and time to go to the next thing?
I think friction is the word that comes to my head the quickest. Like if there's so much friction that it is becoming painful to move forward, that is a sign that something needs to go.
Wow.
Like if you can't, I feel like walking briskly or running are the only, it's either walking briskly, running, or sitting down. Those are like the three movements that I feel like I want to do. I never yeah. want to be like trudging through something. I never want to be like pulling my feet, dragging my feet.
Right.
So it's like if you're in a situation where it feels like you can't freely move or freely sit, then
wow.
then it feels like something needs to change.
Yes.
Because now it's just slowing you down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Great analogies.
Thank you.
Wonderful answer.
It feels so real to me. That's the one thing I think there's two sides to like moving on. That's like the friction side, but then I feel like there's also like a releasing side that I've also experienced in dance, for example. Like when I was performing live, there was a moment where there was so much friction and anxiety that I wanted to quit because it just wasn't fun for me.
Yeah.
But I knew I wasn't ready to quit because there was just something, it was just like, I didn't know what it was. But then after I put out, I think it was like World of Dance San Diego in like, I don't know, 2015 or something.
Wow.
I might have gotten the dates wrong. Who knows? Who cares? But it was like my last performance because I felt so proud of what I had put out.
Wow.
Like me as a dancer artist, it was like, I remember like when I was performing, I wasn't doing like class demos. And a lot of people, when they went on stage, they would do like, you know, in the very beginning, it was like a 45 second, like here's like a class solo.
Yes.
And then it became like more performance based of like crews, but no one was really doing like full like
concepts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that was like the thing that I felt really strongly about, right, that like it needs to be a whole piece, a whole concept. And when I did the last show that I did, I felt really proud of it because like there was like a sketch element, there was comedy, there was a kind of a solo bit, but then there was a group piece. Like it really felt like cohesive.
Right.
And I had like the biggest panic attack before that one, but it was like the last panic attack I will ever have because I felt at peace with the piece itself. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yes, that represents who I am as an artist from a dancing perspective. And then I like let it go. It was like, now I feel okay about that because it showed, I think, how I felt about my art.
Yeah.
And then with dance videos, after I did the last one as well, If the World Was Ending, which was so completely different than, you know, all the other hip hop versions that I've done before, it was like, I proved to myself that I wasn't just like one specific type of, you know, obviously each dancer has their own style.
Right.
And that was like not my style, but it had like elements of, you know, like obviously like me and Jake choreographed it. So like it has me in it. And I just felt really proud of the editing of it. I felt really proud of like what we created, and it
was a beautiful video.
Thank you. I really am like, I really love that one. And it felt really good to be like, I feel at peace.
Right.
Because I think once I get to a specific place, and that's honestly kind of how I feel about the podcast, of like it, I stick with it and I evolve with it until it feels like it matches up with how I see myself and my art.
Wow.
Yeah. And it feels like it's no longer, I mean, there could be friction with all of these things, but really it's I've reached the place that I feel like it deserves to go.
Yeah.
And then I can send it off because like it has gratitude attached to it, and it has like empathy and integrity and like everything that I feel like my essence is.
Right.
That is now like immortalized, and now I can close that chapter because I feel good about it.
Right. I like the idea of just seeing it through.
Mm.
Like letting yourself feel it out at every single stage. And because I think so many people start things and then they stop because maybe there is friction. But I think something I've admired about you is you have felt friction in areas. So then you changed the position. Like I keep going back to analogies, but all I'm imagining is like you wearing fuzzy socks, walking through a carpeted house and then going to turn on the light and just getting electrocuted.
Right.
Rather than being like, well, I could just take my socks off and I won't shock myself next time I go turn the light on. So it's like you've tried everything. And then at the end, if you're still getting electrocuted, it's like, I need to rip these damn floors out. Like, I don't need carpet. I need hardwood.
Right.
And that is what I need, you know? So I think you've done a really good job of feeling the friction out. And this is like a good lesson for everyone to take away is like feel out the friction and see if it is bringing you to where you want to go or if it really is just stopping you in your tracks. But I admire that you go full circle with things and you let it die naturally of natural causes.
Of natural causes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that idea too. Like if you have friction, maybe that is a sign to, maybe friction is making you slow down to look at it and see, do we need to go a different direction? Can we change anything to make this a little bit more, you know, enjoyable for everyone?
Yeah.
Or do we need to get different floors?
Yes.
But yeah, maybe there's a reason. I mean, I guess, you know what? There is probably a reason for all the friction in life. You just have to find out what that is.
Right. The resistance.
Mm-hmm.
Identify where that resistance comes from.
Exactly. And then go from there.
Wow. I love that. That's such a good lesson too. It's so easy to just think something's uncomfortable and then stop.
Mm-hmm.
Or even just like keep pushing through pain and realizing like, why am I bruised up right now? And it's like, because you keep running into something that is in your way and you won't just move it out of your way because you want it there so bad.
That was me.
Right? Like, why am I stubbing my toe?
Why are we doing this? My toes hurt. Oh my God. And then you get like heavier duty shoes so that when you do run into it, it doesn't hurt, but you're still running into it. So what do we need to do? We got to take out the blockage.
Take out the blockage.
Ugh.
I love these analogies.
Me too.
I'm having so many visuals go in my head right now. This is incredible.
You're writing a full new book.
I really am. Junes of Megan. Shoot. That's not the one.
Shoot.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
So I guess another question, because turning your dreams into reality sounds so romantic.
Yeah, it does, huh?
It sounds so good. Like, yeah, just make money from your passions. But as we've talked about, you know, you can get burnt out from that. So one, you know, do you have any tips about following your dreams? And then two, do you have any cautionary tales about maybe trying to turn something, a hobby, into income that wasn't necessary as well? Like, do you have a pros and cons of following your dreams?
I love that question so much because I am prone to making everything a business.
Right.
And I'm realizing through the letting go of this chapter of my life is that when I stop commodifying things that I love, I get to love them again.
Right.
And I didn't realize that, like with dancing, when I needed to, you know, do whatever, teach a class, make a performance, do a thing, it wasn't fun anymore because it was like my livelihood. I needed to book a job. Like Justin Bieber needed to hire me or else I wasn't paying my rent.
Yes.
Like, how can I love something if I'm like desperate in it?
Like scarcity mindset around
it. And that's what's really hard about like following your dreams in the beginning is that you are desperate.
Yeah.
Like, it is a desperate space because you so badly want to be living your dream and you're not.
Yeah.
And that's really hard. And so I think that, like, I guess what I'm going to tell myself, because I'm also making a career change and now I'm back in desperation mode of like, how am I going to make this my life? Like, I don't know. And I think the only thing that I do know is you have to take the first step however you can.
Right.
And I mean, for me, like now that I'm 30 and I'm getting into like a different set of waters, I guess, is like, the entry level to the profession I'm trying to get in is like so expensive that I have to work with other people monetarily now because I can't afford it. Right. So it's like, that is a lesson that I'm learning. One, I needed to learn this a long time ago, is that like, I can't do it alone and I never should have, but I felt so much pride in being able to do something myself.
Yes.
That was like fueling me. And what I'm learning now,
one man team, I can do it all. I do everything.
It's like, who am I trying to impress?
Yeah.
Like what? Like even if I'm impressing myself, I'm also like killing myself by doing it. And I'm realizing that also like working in collaboration, better ideas happen all the time. And I think I was so dead set on being in control that it was like, it's also like when you're in elementary school or like middle school and you're doing all the project for the whole team, because like, you know, that your deadbeat student, like, co-students, what are they, like classmates?
Peers.
Co-students.
Co-students. Collab students.
That like they're not going to pull the weight, but it's still your grade. So you're going to do all the work because you have to get an A or else you're going to get grounded. Yes. Like I've been primed to do all the work from an early age. Right. And so that just like turned into this kind of like one man machine that cannot work that way. And so what I'm learning is working with other people that have similar dreams or the same goal, maybe in the end, but do different things, is the only way that this can happen.
Right.
For a long-term thing.
Right.
Like you cannot do it alone. And it's also actually not fun if you do it alone.
And what I kind of like what you said too about not being able to afford it. Like I think this is now a personal Taylor Jane advice. Having income on the side so you can get something done. And although your income that you make is different than how other people's would go, I think that is something to point out, is that a lot of people can't afford to turn their dreams into reality. So it is also important to have something that can relieve expenses for you, whether that's other people investing with you and it isn't just you, or it is having some sort of side income. I feel like that's so helpful.
100%. Every time that I was changing my career to follow my dream, I could never afford it. And it's just now that I'm getting older, the stakes are higher. Wow. But like in the very beginning, before I was dancing, I was in college for graphic design and I was like, oh, I want to be a professional dancer. But that means I have to move to LA. I don't know anybody in LA. I have to get enough money for a ticket and an apartment. So I worked four jobs.
Wow.
I worked at Einstein Bagels. I worked at Carolina Ale House.
Such a cute Einstein girl.
I only worked there for like a little bit because I was supposed to be a barista and like I was so bad at it. I was like, can I just give people their goddamn bagels? Like Jesus.
Let me just put cream cheese on this, please.
It was Einstein Bagels, Carolina Ale House. I was working as like a private coach for kids' tumbling classes.
Wow.
And then I was teaching dance classes at some Orlando dance studio. So I was like, I had four jobs in order to make enough money for a one-way ticket to LA.
That's insane.
So like, that's also, I never like remember that because I was 19.
Yeah.
But that's true. Like I like have always been working my ass off to make my dreams happen.
Yeah.
And I could never afford them. And then when I was in LA and I, you know, didn't want to dance anymore because I wasn't getting booked, like I just wasn't working.
Yeah.
And that was scary because it was like, this was my dream. And I was working here and there. But then I found the dance community, which is like, I don't know if people listening like know the ins and outs, but like there's, when you watch a movie or a music video, that's different than like dance classes and competitions. And so I found that. And then that kind of like took off. I found little bits in there where I could make money. World of Dance Weekly, like hosting a YouTube channel. And then from there, it was like, okay, now I can start teaching dance classes. And then like, I think it only makes sense that your dreams are working if you put everything you have into your dreams. And that feels so scary because it is.
Yeah.
And like, I wish I could be like, it's going to be I could never say it's going to be easy, but like, I wish I could say like, it's going to work out because you don't know if it will.
Right.
But if you put everything in that you have, like when I say everything, I mean like all of your time, all of your energy, all of your soul's desire and resources and like everything you have to make it work, it will, in my experience.
Yes, 100%.
And I've done it twice. I mean, like from college to dance, to YouTube. Like when I started YouTube to become a channel that made enough money to pay for rent, like, of course that didn't work in the beginning. You have to build a following.
Right.
And so obviously I didn't have the money for that, but I kept doing it. Yes. And I figured out ways to collaborate with people. I, you know, worked with the algorithm as much as I hate it now. Like at that time, like I have hustled my dick off in like a couple different ways to where it's like this now going into this next venture of like, you know, doing like homes and properties.
Right.
Like this is scary as shit. And I don't know if I'm going to make it work, but like I do know that I'm going to make it work because I've done it twice and I know that I'll put everything I have into it.
That's amazing. And I 100% agree. You have to give it your all or else it's not going to work out for you, or it's going to take way longer because you're giving only a certain percentage to it because you don't really believe that it is going to work. Like, I feel like people don't give that 100% if they don't believe it. But the great thing about you is you always believe that it's going to work. So you're like, there's no other choice. I'm going to make sure it happens.
Yeah. I think in the beginning, like when I was 19 and I made the move, like I didn't know that it was going to work, but I told myself there is no plan B.
Right.
But I did have like a plan C. I was like, you know, I'm 19. Yeah. If this doesn't work, I can go back to college. Like I had, you know, obviously it's, I'm still paying for college. Like it's all still up to me.
Yeah.
But it was like, I'm young enough.
Exactly.
And I think now that I'm not young enough, I mean, I'm still young, like 30 is still
incredibly young.
But at this point, I have enough like life experience of failing and making it work that like I kind of know what it will take.
Yeah.
Even though it's on a different level this time, I still know like the elements that go into it. And another thing I wanted to say about like making money in the realm of your dreams is like, get creative about the jobs that are in that industry. Like if you want to, like going back to dance, like if we wanted to take dance classes, we could work at a dance studio and you get dance classes for free or at a discounted rate. I don't know. I've never worked at a dance studio, but like you can be in the community making money or offsetting your costs in order to develop your talent in order to use that to become a professional, whatever you want to be.
Yeah. That's so good. That's so good.
Because you're still immersing yourself in the culture of it.
Exactly.
And you're getting your hours in, you're becoming more aware and knowledgeable about the subject.
Yeah.
Versus like working, I mean, like when I was working four jobs, none of them really helped me with dancing except for the substitute teaching job. So technically I could have, you know, done that four times and maybe been quicker. But that's not what happened.
That's neither here nor there. Four jobs is insane.
It's too much.
So what's the flip side of turning your dreams into a reality? Like, is there a point where you're like, don't do that? Like, or even your, I should say your hobbies, less of your dreams into reality, more of your hobbies into income is really the question I'm asking. Like, at what point do you need to just enjoy things for what they are rather than making money? Or do you just try it out and try to make money doing it?
I think that might be like the best question that has been asked on this podcast.
Ooh.
Because it is the one that I wish that I heard someone talk about. Because I have struggled so much with that because everything to me is art and business because I've learned that I have to survive. And the only way that I want to survive is by making art.
Wow.
So right now I'm really trying to decipher like what is for commodity and what is for me. Like I'm actually trying to figure that out. And I think that the only advice I can give right now is like, you kind of do have to feel out when it starts becoming not fun anymore.
When it becomes a job or when it's work rather than your art. Making money.
Yeah, I really do wish I had like a better answer for that. But I think it really is so individual to like what makes you feel good about producing something that's coming from your hands and your heart.
Yeah.
Of like, does it feel good to write a book? Yes, then do it. Does it feel good to make videos? No, then stop. Like it really, and I think it can change all the time, but in the beginning, enjoy it for what it is. And then if it feels good when you start putting it out into the world, then that's a good like indicator that, okay, then we can go the next step. And I think like what gets really hard is like, for me, I'll have an idea and then I'll instantly like get the Instagram handle and then I'll like go on Google and get like the domain.
Yes.
Just so I can have it all just in case I want it. And then the next day I'm like, oh, well, but I'm never going to do that.
Right.
And I have so many, I just instantly turn what I love into businesses. And I don't know if that's like scarcity mindset or I don't know if that is like being lost in my creativity of like, oh, right. anything could be anything. Right. Like maybe that's me being so open-minded. Like I don't actually know, but I think what I'm going to tell myself like moving forward is like, have something for you that you keep just for you. And it could still be the same thing. Like say that it's interior design. Like I can still interior design for me and still love it. I mean, but that's the thing. Like, that's like my true, true passion. So I don't, it's kind of hard to be like siphoning it off.
Right.
But I think like, I think it's a question that you just have to ask yourself of like, is this light or is it heavy? Mm-hmm. Like, is this giving me more energy or is it draining it? Is it taking the love out of design? Yeah. Is it taking the love out of the book?
That's good.
Yeah. I think it's just like,
once the love starts leaving, that will tell you whether or not that should just be for yourself or for.
Yeah.
I was going to say inventory, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. If it's losing the joy, that's the thing. Just don't lose the joy in whatever you're doing. And I remember telling an old assistant of mine, like pick something that you want to, that you can do for 16 hours. Like that should be the job. Like it, you should love something that so much that you could do it for 16 hours and like go to bed happy.
Wow.
And like, that is how I feel about building houses and designing, but at the same time, you shouldn't be working 16-hour days.
Period. As much as I'm over here like, yes, what can I do for 16 hours?
Yes.
Like, why are we trying to work 16 hours in the first place?
That's also what I had to tell myself. Man, I hope that was a good enough answer.
That was great.
It's because I'm like trying to also figure that out.
Yes.
And that's what's so hard about that situation is like, I'm actually feeling that out right now.
Wow.
But I think that's what's important is like to know that you have to feel it out to know that answer.
Yes. I just love, you know, the joy has to be there. It's has so to. Simple.
Yeah.
I like that we talked through it and then we got there.
Yeah.
But that is super real. Like if you don't love it anymore, that's just a job. And at that point, you don't need to be doing it anymore. And I know I feel that way about dance and you feel that way about dance where it's like, okay, if I'm going to do it, it's because I want to do it, not because anyone's paying me to do it. And in fact, if you want to pay me, I might not do it.
Right. Yeah. It's so important to have something like that. And that's what I was saying earlier is like, as soon as I decided, like, I don't need X to make money or I don't want to make money doing this, then it's the pressure is off and you're free. And I think that's like, that is the feeling that I'm going towards right now in every aspect of my life is like, this freedom.
Wow.
Of like, I just want to feel free. And if my job is not making me feel free, then that's not a job I want to be in. Because like,
absolutely.
I am only in this body for however long I am. And I understand how this world works and that money, even though it's a made up concept, everyone accepts it. And this is how we have to live.
Yes.
And I get that. However, can I play the game of money by doing something I love?
Mm-hmm.
I think I can.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm doing.
Wow.
What I'm trying to do. You know, I'm transitioning.
Well, as the unofficial future ex-host, should we take a commercial break?
Oh my God, fun!
Did I do it right?
Yeah, that was amazing.
Sweet! Wow, yay! You have some great answers to these questions.
Wow, thank you. You have some great ass questions.
Thanks. Let me see which ones I want to get into next real quick. Oh yeah, no, these are good. Okay, I definitely have some more. I'll ask a fun one after this so we can break it up a little bit.
Okay.
It's very, very light.
Ooh, okay. It's been a long time since I've asked a light question on this pod. I love it.
Yeah, it's just whatever. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Dun, 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 dun. This is not anything, but do you have a most memorable guest?
Oh my God. Why? Ooh. Ow. Crunch just bit me. A most memorable guest.
Yes.
Oh my God. I have most memorable mottos from a couple of guests. So I think one of them that like really switched my mind up was this woman, Christina. She had said, she had asked the question, what else is possible? And when she had said that, I was like in a moment where I was very unhappy in what I was doing and obviously continual burnout. And she was like, yeah, what else is possible? And I was like, holy shit. I have been looking in one direction for so long, thinking that that was the only direction. Wow. Like I have like made this like really nice, comfortable seat for myself to look out at the horizon. But it wasn't on wheels, right, and it wasn't a swivel chair. So I was like, oh, this is nice. And this is, I don't want to move from here because I built this chair myself and I love it. And like, it's a really nice chair. And like, I get a lot of compliments on this chair and I feel comfortable and safe in this chair. But I wasn't looking at the other directions that I could be facing.
Wow.
And so when she said, what else is possible? I was like, damn. Yeah, I'm pretty actually unhappy in this chair because I've been sitting here for so long that now the cushion is flat. And now actually the view is kind of shitty because I'm uncomfortable in this chair that I made for myself.
Wow.
Yeah. And so when she said that, it kind of opened my mind up to what else is possible. What would it be like if I did love my morning routine? What would it be like if I did have enough time for my friends? What would it be like if I actually cooked for myself again and enjoyed that instead of thinking it was a chore? All of these things that I wasn't paying attention to because I was so focused on the next step.
Wow.
And I didn't look at what was around me. That was super pivotal.
Wow. So simple too.
Right?
What else is possible compared to like, ugh, what else?
Right.
Like, ugh, but what about this? Like,
yeah,
it's such a simple question that is vague enough to always work in any scenario that you ask it.
Exactly. And I think that it works too as creatives because like imagine you're on set and you know somebody doesn't show up or a prop breaks and it was like a key motherfucking prop that you needed and you have to make it work. Like if you're directing this video, like it's on you to make it work.
Right.
And if instead of going, what are we going to do? Who's available? Asking your, like, first of all, taking a breath and then asking yourself, what else is possible? Like we have a broken prop. What if we X? What it's basically like improv, like yes, anding something instead of instantly cutting it off. You're now opening up to so many more possibilities to something that could be better. And what I'm realizing too is like something will happen, will go wrong at this property project that I'm working on. Like maybe like the tile is too expensive or something broke or we don't have enough time to paint this thing, that. Yeah. And it's like every time that something happens in my initial like sketches and ideas, it's like, oh my God, then my design isn't good. This is what I said. Wow. This is what I want. But in the end, something happened and something broke or something pivoted and changed. And in the end, it's cooler and more innovative.
Wow.
Because I had to get creative. And what I'm learning is like, that's why I'm not too scared to go like voluntarily into this like a little scary, scarcity, kind of desperate like energy again. Like every time I change careers, it's scary. And the reason why I'm not scared this time, one, because like my track record with myself is trustworthy.
Yeah.
But two, I'm realizing that when you have nothing, you get more creative. Right. And that's when really cool shit happens, because you surprise yourself, because you have to be resourceful of what you do with what you do have.
Yes.
And it's always interesting to see what your brain can come up with when it's put to the test.
I also love that you said, my track record is trustworthy. Like, wow. That is amazing to say, one, about yourself, and two, to reaffirm yourself when you are making the step to go into something new, is like, okay, well, have I made good decisions in the past? Most people probably will say yes. Mm-hmm. Like, I do trust myself when I follow the thing I tell myself I should do. It works. So, wow, that's just another good.
Yeah. And like, we've gotten this far, right? Like, we've all gotten this far by making decisions for us.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the decisions, in retrospect, maybe they didn't make sense, but they got you here.
Yeah.
So clearly you did something right.
Right.
And if you just keep trusting that and keep going in that direction,
right,
how can you fail in the end? Like, maybe you'll have like minor setbacks, but that's not failing. Failing is like, one, not trying is failing, because you're not doing anything. Exactly. So you're failing at doing something.
Yeah.
But also, like, any quote unquote failure, and I think this is another motto that I've taken, like, failure is feedback.
We have a whole episode that we did on it. Wow, here we are again. Here this we are. Full circle.
It really is. It's just more information. And that's another thing that I want to tell myself in this moment. Anything that's happening to me, whether I'm burning out or having stress hives or anxious or, you know, depleted, whatever, these are, one, real emotions that I should definitely have time and space to feel. Mm. At the same time, it's more information about myself. Mm-hmm. And all that can do is help us put ourselves in a better position, because now we just have more information of what doesn't work for us.
Exactly.
That's all that is.
That's so beautiful. Wow. So why now to stop?
Ooh.
Why is this the perfect time for you to close a chapter?
I feel like those two sides of the spectrum that we were talking about, of closure, of feeling really proud that something has come to the fruition of how I see my artistic self and my authentic self, and allowing it to release. And at the same time, the friction of this is holding me back in the direction that I want to now go, now that I'm a different version of myself. Mm. It's both one and the same. Like, I'm so proud of where this podcast has come from, where it started. Like, I think it is helping so many creatives and people listening not feel alone. Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like it's a good depiction of like the human experience, because it's happening as we're talking about it. You know, it's not like a lot of the things I talk about with guests that I was having in the past, like all the self-development guests, like my guests stopped becoming like my friends or like comedians, and they really became like experts in their field.
Yeah.
Because I started to ask questions about, this is how I'm feeling. Like, what, please help me.
Yeah.
Like, it was less self-help and like, please help. And so I feel like I had gotten to a place where I and the people listening have gotten these nuggets of wisdom that are what we need in order to run on our own with that. Yeah. It's almost as if like someone had like a, like if this podcast was like giving out gold coins, and now we can take those gold coins and invest them. And now we can build our bank, because we started with a coin. And I no longer feel like that I need to generate all these coins, because I feel strongly that in the past year, there's been really good information that is all we might need to set us on the right path. And so it feels like it's closed itself up in a way. Mm-hmm. And now that I have these coins, now I want to take my own advice and do the thing that I would be, you know, giving advice to other people of, follow your dreams and don't do what doesn't serve you. And if it's, you know, slowing you down from this new version of yourself, stop it. So that's what I'm doing. Like, as much as I loved, like, truly the podcast has changed my life because I've been able to really articulate all of my thoughts and feelings and fears and get help from people that I would have not had access to.
Yeah.
And through me, I have been, and the people and the guests and my friends and people like you coming on and sharing their stories, been able to help whoever might tune in for whatever it might be. Like, I feel really good about that, just like I felt with the dance chapters.
Yeah.
Like, it's that same feeling of like, I'm proud of what it's become and I think it's helped, and now I release it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. My last question is a part A and B.
Okay.
The part A is, what's next for Megan Batune in this next chapter?
Interesting question.
Means. It doesn't have to mean like, what's your next business endeavor?
Yeah.
But like, what is next for Megan?
Oh, I love that. As a human.
Yes.
Thank you for clarifying that, because instantly, like, anytime that I would go on podcasts and it was like, okay, promote your thing. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, as soon as you asked that, I was like, okay, this is what I'm going to do. This is my hopeful business plan. Obviously, haven't made the shift yet. But as a human, I love that question so much more, because I think it's the first time that I am at a place where I'm putting myself as a human first.
Mm-hmm.
I think in my entire life, it's always been achievement and goal oriented. Yeah. You know, ever since I was in elementary school, like, make the honor roll and be in the gifted class and become cheerleading captain and become the leader of this and secretary of that or whatever. What, vice president, not secretary. I don't even remember. Wow. Literally.
Wow.
LOL of a national, like, what was it? No, it was not national. It was Spanish Honor Society. And like, oh, I can barely speak Spanish. So like, come on. Did I really need to be vice president? No. So
you talked your way into that one.
Yeah. Hopefully in Spanish. But yeah, and all these like leadership positions that I've like found myself in, I've never like taken lead of my life as like my one life.
Wow.
And so I think, as scary as it is to like kind of put business on the back burner, maybe not the back burner, they're like co-burners.
Yep.
They're side by sides.
The smaller burner.
Yeah. Is like, I really am focused on getting me as a person healthy physically and mentally, because if that is not there, everything will crumble anyway.
Yep.
So I really want to really, really want to feel true joy in my life and true presence and like intention and connection with everyone in my path, with every feeling that I have.
Yeah.
And I don't know what my life will look like in the next year, because I'm drastically changing it. I'm moving to the desert. I'm quitting a lot of what I've spent my 20s building.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, but the only thing that I am positive about is that that is the right direction for me.
Wow.
I don't know how, but it is so clear in my soul that that is it.
Would you have ever thought that you saying, I don't know what's next, and I'm clear on that in the same
Mm-mm.
sentence, like having clarity and not knowing mm-hmm. sounds like an oxymoron for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you really deserve that. And I was talking to my mom about this the other day too. Like, I was trying to phrase it, you know, when you're venting, you're like, I have nothing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This got taken away and this. And she was like, it just sounds like a clean slate.
Yes.
I was like, damn.
Yeah.
A clean plate. Like, you get yes. to now decide what gets put on your plate, compared to people just keep giving you these plates. And it's like, clear it, clear it, clear it. And you're like, I don't even like what's on this plate right
yes.
now. So now you get to Chef Boyardee,
yeah,
your own plate.
That's so funny you say that. I was talking to my friend the other day about this. Is a concept that, like, I, whenever I write, and it would not be writing, but whenever I create like an art feelings book, which like I want to do at some point in my life, but like, you know, you gotta live first.
Art feelings. Wow.
Yeah. There's, okay, there's something there. Obviously we'll talk about it since you are one of my favorite authors. I just think it's so cool. Like the fact that you wrote a book, one, is so cool because that's not easy. Two, for it to be good.
Oh. Wait, we're not talking about me.
Oh my
we're
God.
Talking about you. Okay, tell me, tell me.
Wait,
tell
okay, me. So here's the concept.
Yes,
speaking
give
about
me the
plates.
Concept.
So here, have you ever been to like a Golden Corral or like yes. a buffet?
Yes.
So when you, I don't know if this is how you buffet, but me growing up as a kid, buffeting was like the Mecca.
Yes.
So I would get like my tray. Mind you, all the food is there. It's been there for hours. Yes. Like probably shouldn't have been there for so long.
Yes.
But it's there. It's been there and it will be there. The food is there. Why am I making a mountain of oof. Fried chicken and Jello and a side salad I know I'm not going to eat, but it would be nice. And a roll here and a rib there and a pizza there.
Yes.
Like, what the fuck is this meal that yes. I've like Franken-bitted my way into eating?
Yes.
I could have gone up for one plate and had a salad.
Yes.
Then gone up for a second plate and had a whatever. Third plate, chicken. Fourth plate, pizza. Fifth plate, Jello. Like, I can just make,
yes.
I can continue to have as many plates as I want. Why am I putting everything that I think that I want on one plate at one time?
Wow.
The food will be there.
That's bars. Big bars.
Right? And so what, like, to answer your question and to add on to that, what I'm trying to do now is not piecemeal my meal. I'm trying to conceptualize, what do I want to taste?
Mm.
What's going to satiate and satisfy me? What's going to nourish me from a cellular level?
Oh,
what's going to make me like, oh, like so decadent because of the flavors that are intentionally put in there together
yeah.
to like accumulate to a very specific intentional dish?
Wow.
That is the life I'm creating. I'm no longer, you know, throwing things all together and calling it my life.
Yeah.
I'm redesigning from the ground up what I want to be eating,
wow.
what is going to nourish me.
That's beautiful. Wow. Big bars.
Big bars.
I always
for the
have
last
like
episode.
A journal of things that I bring home with me after talking to you. Okay, I have a final part B. It's my part B question.
My final part B.
My final part B, which is, what do you hope is next for your listeners? Whether that be with you or on their own, like, what do you want for the people who have been tuning in this entire time?
First of all, I hope that they've gotten, I think, I mean, I was going to say like they've gotten anything out of this, but I think that that is an older voice of mine that is like trying to downplay actually my work.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that this is a very helpful space.
Yeah.
And I think what I'm hoping that they take away from it are these like moments and concepts, like mottos and concepts that they can take their coin and invest it and
yeah.
like water that seed and like remember these things whenever they come to these crossroads. Maybe they haven't made a career transition before. Maybe they've never burned out before. Like,
yeah.
but like this podcast being here to refer back to
yeah.
whenever they come into those positions in life, I'm hoping that this can be like maybe inspirational of like, it's okay to not know where you're going, but if you're clear on what you want and what you need after doing all of the self inventory and the look at your life and what's on your plate,
yeah.
to realize that it is in your control and you can make it happen and it will be scary, but if you trust yourself, then it will all be fine.
Wow.
And to like, if you're making a leap to your dreams and you're scared, Me too.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. That is beautiful. And I'm so excited I got to be here to ask you these questions because I do feel like you don't get to have people ask you them, but I'm always just thinking like, what would Megan say? What would Megan do? Like, honestly, I really do even live my life, not like obviously always thinking that, but I do revert back to you and a lot of things because I do see you move so gracefully, or at least, you know, to me, it feels so graceful, all of these transitions that you've done. And even, you know, sitting in your gorgeous house that is different every single time that I come here, it's just so amazing to see you consistently changing and always going closer to who you are rather than you're trying to figure it out and you're getting farther. Like, you really are just always consistently coming into yourself.
Thank you. And that's how it feels. That's the reason I wanted you to host this, because I never do, like, I never have the space to like say all these things.
Right.
And I feel like you are the right person to ask the questions that people want to know, because I feel like when we speak, we are able to have moments where we can share our experiences and we're in different places, but we have a similar mentality of like what's important.
Yeah.
And so I'm so happy that the listeners got you as the host for the very last episode.
Oh, wow. It's still crazy to even believe this is your last one.
Right? Oh my God, what's next?
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Well, thank you truly, everyone, for listening for the past 3 years. We've come a long way, and I don't know what's next, but whatever it is, we'll see you there.
It's going to be great.
Love you.
It's just a tip.
It's just a tip.
Yeah. It's,
it's like, yeah.
Okay. That was a HeadGum Podcast.